Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Dr. Michel Léonard serves as the chief economist and data scientist at the Insurance Information Institute. With over two decades of experience in insurance economics and risk modeling, he has held senior roles at firms such as Aon, Jardine Lloyd Thompson, and Alliant. Dr. Léonard also contributes to academia as an adjunct faculty member at New York University's Economics Department. He hosts the podcast All Eyes on Economics, where he explores the intersection of economics and insurance. Dr. Léonard, so glad you could join us today.
It's my pleasure, as always.
So just recently, last week as a matter of fact, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell spoke on economic policy. I'm sure that you are listening. What are your thoughts on the impact of that speech on the financial markets and the insurance industry in particular?
Well, the markets reacted strongly. It dropped significantly, even by recent standards. It was a very important speech, and here's why. Traditionally, raising interest rates is great when you have inflation. The impact of that, it reduces demand. The problem is that Greenspan used to say the medication needs to fit the disease. And right now, if because of tariffs and other considerations, we end up with inflation, it's not going to be because of demand. It's going to be because of the tariffs and that and those related considerations. So he's in a challenging, and the Fed is in a challenging place because of that. And he, I think the Fed has been doing a great job in communication on his side. And his message was basically that. How do we, but he did raise the perspective of potential rates, which frankly, from my perspective, I think was probably a bit undesirable in that regard. But there's a lot of pressure for, at minimum, telegraphing to the markets that there will be action on inflation.
Let's dig a little bit deeper into inflation because you've written extensively on it. In fact, you wrote an article called Navigating Inflation. What are your concerns as far as inflation goes?
Well, you know, I'm an insurance economist, a P&C economist. So I think, how does it impact our, at III, our members, but also the industry? And the main element there, the main transition or transmission mechanism is replacement cost. You know, that's a straightforward one. And during COVID, it's not only right now, but during COVID, we did some research and the average increase in replacement cost, you know, parts of cars or 2x4 in the walls of homes, was almost 50%, 45 to 50. Folks may remember that at one point, used cars went up 40%, 45, if they were available. So translating that is what we're focusing on. So our whole methodology is looking at it not from inflation as a countrywide concern, but looking at inflation by insurance lines and increasingly by regions. Inflation is not anymore as it's not a matter of what's happening on the East Coast and the West Coast, but it's also about different states and most of all urban, suburban, and exurbs.
How do you think insurers will view underwriting as a result of inflation?
My colleague, Dale Porfilio, who's our chief actuary officer, when he joined, it's great, we sit down and we translate, would say that economics and stress tests are at the margin of the price process and so forth. And right now we can't really make economics at the margin. So the impact as we head into these turbulent and uncertain times of driven by tariffs, what we're saying is let's look at what happened during COVID in terms of the baseline. And most likely COVID was a more significant disruption, but certainly that provides underwriters and actuaries and heads of businesses a sense of how to reserve and how to look at different ratios.
Do you think inflation will have an impact on investment strategies and assets under management?
Absolutely. Traditionally, and I mean by that 20, 30 years ago, insurance companies own a lot of real estate. It was long-term, especially on the life side, and then bonds. In many cases, we have to, at the state level, we're regulated at the state level, to own state bonds and a lot of tax-exempt bonds and so forth, municipal bonds. It used to be that the insurance industry was the main owner of municipal bonds. We've diversified. Traditionally now, there is about 25% of equity and about 60% of bonds and fixed income and then in between. That's the main place of transmission from interest rates. We are able, though, now to generate a healthy, though regulated, so reasonable profit, which means, you know, 1, 2, or 3%. I need to specify that. We're not a technology company as an industry. And that's where the main impact will be. Now, the other issue that's very important is access to capital. As interest rates change, it reprices risk. And we know, for example, with extreme weather events, that we have a great need for capital. And that capital is global. And certainly issues about trade disruption, at one point, if they do go into capital flows, would increase that concern there. But it's a concern in that regard because the risk, the base risk, is would be getting pricier in that regard, more rich in that regard.
Something else that's a concern and something else that you've written extensively about, third-party litigation. Insurers seem to be on their back foot when it comes to TPL, don't they?
Yes, we've done work actually at III on how to best call that. At one point, it was the concept of nuclear verdict. Someone wrote about that, so that's his term. Great, great book. And that's the concept of where, especially on the jury side, jurors will award extremely high amounts. So we're talking, you know, 50, 100, 200 million. And there's a point to that. That is a way that folks through the judiciary are able to hold companies, and not just companies, but also actors who may not have the right priorities from a social standpoint, accountable. So there's no issue whatsoever with how the system works and so forth and what the goal of litigation is. There are instances, though, where there is abuse. And what does that mean in our industry? It means, well, on the medical side, it may be folks who are not entirely transparent in terms of their conditions. It's especially the case when it comes to disability insurance. On the property side, it often comes after hurricanes and extreme weather events where someone may not need a new roof, but you know, the local company will say, maybe you need a new roof. And then what happens quite often, and that's a great example of abuse, is that there's now a litigation funding where entities will come together and provide funding to encourage lawyers to be able to go after that. So that's a problem for us, and we all pay because of it.
Customize your data experience. Best Link now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
So let's talk about another economic trend that's all over the news right now, tariffs. How is that impacting insurers? What are we seeing there? What are the concerns?
You know, economists love the term great deal of uncertainty. I think for once it's actually applicable, and there is a great deal of turbulence as well. So when we think about tariffs, because of that, it's unclear whether there'll be tariffs, what will be tariffed. It's not a word, but we've started to come. I've seen it recently. And what is the scale of the tariff? Now, early in my career, as I was mentioning, I did fixed income, but also did emerging markets. And there's a great deal of trade disruption in emerging markets. Some of them are developed economies, so we have a history there of data, of a sense of how do tariffs of a certain scale impact pricing and availability. What we've just come out, actually, is that as opposed to just saying, you know, at some point something will happen, like economists sometimes do, we need to be actionable. Insight, we came up with the concept. Here's the timeline. First, the tariffs are announced. There's a great deal of uncertainty. Normally, prices or the markets, if it has financial implication, will overreact. And then there's a period where it comes down a bit. And then once the policy gets implemented, there's more clarity, there's a stabilization. Depending on how the clarity comes about, we may have a stabilized price above or beyond the original price. Sometimes it does go beyond, below. It's rare, but it happens. So if we have, now let's talk about the scale of the tariffs. If we have single-digit tariffs, it may be possible to absorb that within the margins. But we have to think about, for example, cars. The auto industry profits on average are 1 or 2%. So even if you have a low single-digit tariff, that makes it very difficult. There are goods, though, especially on the retail side, where that can be absorbed. The main question is when you have double and triple digit tears. The reality of that is very few industries are able within their production line, their value added chain, to extract the margin so that we don't end up 20 or 30% increases, similar, sometimes more than the tariff. Those goods therefore become economically unviable, and therefore we have scarcity. And one may have to go on the unofficial market, they may be uncertified, and so forth.
With tariff policies, however, shifting so rapidly, changing so rapidly, almost on a day-to-day basis, should insurers be adopting new strategies or sitting tight right now?
Well, I think it's a mix of both. One should not overreact. Certainly, the equity market has shown us that, you know, sometimes I was preparing for our CEO a little briefing memo last week, and I got a call from someone on the desk, a friend of mine, saying, hey, Trump, the president, the administration just changed its policy. The market went in one direction, and then the market went in the other direction. So I like to think that there needs to be, you know, at least a 48 hours before one reacts, and really more of a week. But certainly prudent risk management, less whether or not it's likely, 50%, 55%, or 10%, the potential impact is such that prudent forecasting, reserving, underwriting requires to have a baseline and a framework for that. And that's why we're focusing on that. Nobody has a crystal ball. If you're in the 24-hour news cycle, the noise, you have to opine at that moment, and it's extremely valuable. However, in the insurance industry, we're looking, especially with this, to multiple quarters. We think tariffs in the industry, we're always a bit behind the overall economic cycle. We think the tariffs would probably start to impact the underlying replacement costs and growth by the third or the fourth quarter of this year, and really in the first quarter of next year.
Are we seeing insurers adjust their forecast models as a result of the tariffs?
We're trying to help at the III. It's challenging. There's also an issue of over-communicating, in that because of the uncertainty, certainly in terms of quarter to quarter, but I think definitely there is something. And, you know, we're talking about the podcast and all eyes on economics. That's one thing that we're looking at. Yesterday, we came up with a framework. If you have single-digit tariffs, probably going to remain economically viable, especially for core goods. If you have double-digit, probably have to prepare for, with a few exceptions, like a dishwasher or a washer dryer. Those are, you know, they're discretionary, but they're almost not discretionary, depending on your ability to purchase goods. So for those goods, they're still going to be there. It's all about replacement costs, frankly, and how do we look at that? And coming out of COVID, it's very challenging for us as an industry.
So looking ahead then, what economic trends do you see impacting the insurance industry?
We've been around the block when it comes to replacement costs. So we say, here are some of the guidance, single digit and so forth. It's going to be about growth. We are switching all of our focus right now from what we know, what we've seen, to underlying growth and the growth of the businesses we insure. There's been a lot of concern in the commercial market and real estate, but right now we're seeing a lot of concern on the homeowners. Again, a lot of these goods are just not going to be available. And, you know, it comes also down to the protection gap, which in the insurance industry, we refer to underinsurance and folks who aren't getting advantage of that. And that's really important because there's already a protection gap from COVID. There's already a protection gap from extreme weather events. Premium have increased, so folks have had to make hard decisions. But if we're looking at this situation, protection gap is a negative for everyone in terms of as a society and so forth. And it often impacts those who have the least economic means. So we're not only growth from an underwriting and a forecasting and a reserving standpoint, but also ultimately that protection gap. You know, we like to be good. We're businesses and so forth, but we also like to be community centric. You know, it goes back to Benjamin Franklin.
Dr. Leonard, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
My pleasure. Always, always great to speak with you.
That was III Chief Economist and Data Scientist, Dr. Michel Leonard. And I'm John Weber for AM Best TV.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.